today is June 16th. Since it's a Saturday, it's another Saturday with a big protest and rally with the Minuteman groups and their affiliated groups. This time it's at the state capitol, and it's been highly promoted and expect over 1,000. It's going to start with American Freedom Riders, which is a bikers group rolling into the state capitol from the other part of Phoenix. There's going to be a march around the state capitol, and then a whole series of speakers. We're at the state capitol now, and one of the first events is a large motorcycle group pulling in. Several hundred motorcyclists pulling into the state capitol here before the speakers and the big event. Here the motorcycles after touring the state capitol are now parking in front of the state capitol.
North American Union, no sovereignty. And the thing is, people out here aren't doing this because they hate other people. It's because they respect human rights. We got to take care of our country first. It's going to hurt the other people, too. They're going to be paid slave wages. Make the other countries rise up against their governments like we're doing right now. That's the way I look at it. So, yeah. So it doesn't... It's very fascinating, though. I thought...
It's not rising, but this is taking back what's ours.
Yes, there you go. We're actually not... We're not revolutionary. We're counter-revolutionaries. All we want to do is save our republic. Because NAFTA, they've got a 3-member to 5-member commission right now. That if we don't want to have something that's brought to this country, they can override our government officials and actually sell it. That's overriding our sovereignty. China, we can't even get our FDA inspectors in right now to inspect all that garbage they've been sending over here. We can't get visas. Now, right there in the Constitution, health and welfare of the people. No, these treaties are dehumanizing for everybody. We're doing this because we respect rights for human beings. This immigration bill is dehumanizing an anti-family. So we need to get something a lot better than that.
So you're pretty successful getting petition signatures to recall McCain and Kyle here, huh?
Yes, sir, because you know what? It's not a political thing anymore. You can see all these Arizonans out here saying, I don't care what you are. We all agree we're not going to have our country much longer if they keep selling it down the river. Our sovereignty is going down the drain. And maybe people in other states, other western states, will take inspiration. And even if you can't do it legally like we can here in Arizona, you know what? They could do symbolic petitions. Because these senators right now, they're talking to them. Lindsey Graham, all the rest of them are saying, hey, you got to get this bill back on the floor. Because Mr. Bush says that we're going to take this and... No, don't bring the thing up. You know, when a politician wants to pass a bill real fast, that's when you got to be nervous.
Would you like me to take a table for the petitions?
Oh.
If you have another table, I'd
say that. Unfortunately, I'll be honest, I was pleasantly really surprised today. I was hoping for a good show, but I didn't know because of the heat and everything. A lot more people showed up than I thought. I didn't bring a table.
I'm hoping there's more even yet.
Yeah, well, you know, the main thing is people can spread the word. Because we've got our recall for Senator John Kyle here and John McCain. Right now, that pressure's on them on
can
the Senate.
Can I have two to pass around?
How many do you need? If you want to take them with you and give them to other people, I brought extras for that very reason.
Why don't I do this?
That's the thing. I would have brought extra clipboards. We're going online. We're printing it up
something
professionally nice. But that's for...
This is good enough.
Okay, and this is...
for Kyle. I want McCain.
There you go, McCain. Thank you, ma'am. I sure do.
For Bush?
Well, we're thinking about it. We're thinking because you got everybody right now saying, hey, America, where's our sovereignty? Yeah, well, that's what he wants. He won't be satisfied until it's $20 a day jobs. You know, you can't compete with that.
Let's build it. Let's build it. It's been approved. Let's build it already.
And you will all join with us. In front of us, all of the members that rode their motorcycles from Rescue Children's Place are all here, and we're going to meet you in the Pledge of Allegiance. Phoenix News, PHXnews.com. I'm going to need you to come forward because we are as boosted as loud as possible. If you could come out of the shadows, the Bush administration would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Step forward out of the shadows.
Come on up here.
Now Buffalo Rick is going to lead us in the national anthem. No words, and I'm sure you know his voice is not going to be that great, so please jump in and help him. And then right after that, we're going to start our three-quarter mile march in honor of closing that damn border.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we
to 1,000 people marched around the state capitol, and now they're in front of the state capitol here chanting. J.D. Hayworth, who was a congressman in the Phoenix area, but he lost the election last November to a Democrat.
Arizona State Capitol. For all of you out there, I'd like to give you a big round of applause for taking time out of your Saturday. You shouldn't have to be here to do this. Unfortunately, your leaders have dropped the ball once again, and you find yourself at the state capitol to have your voice be heard. After our series of speeches, we're going to open up the microphone for you for 2 minutes at a time, and we're going to start a list, and it's going to happen at this side of the podium. We don't have the list yet, but somebody's going to find it, provide a pen, and there's going to be a list signed up on this side in a couple of minutes. So bear with me.
out in the back over there by the trees, are you? Channel 12, raise your hand, Channel 12. Can you hear me? Because we watch you and you don't hear us. We're right here. Today we're talking about closing that damn border, securing America. And my name is Todd Hartley. I run Phoenix News, PHXnews.com. We get 3 million of you a month checking in on this site. And I appreciate all of your support. I run the most listened to immigration podcast in America, where we're always talking every day or 5 days a week. We're talking with the leading experts. Some of them you're going to hear from on this microphone today.
That's just your side. I got it.
Before we get started, I want to mention something to you. You know, the reason we're allowed out here today, the reason we're allowed to do this, is because of the rule book. Our leaders don't understand the rule book, but we do. And in the rule book, if you flip ahead, it says, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, the right of the people to peacefully assemble, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. The most important thing we remember today, Channel 12, you can hear me? Good. The most important thing people can remember today is peacefully assemble. We have a responsibility. Many of us out there have served our country in times of need and have today returned to the state capitol to report for duty, and we salute you for being here. Thank you very much. I understand you can't hear. If you can't hear, please understand we're doing our best. We encourage you to move forward. Our speakers, they're not on 10. Our speakers are on 11. We push them one higher. So please step forward if you need a little more audio. That's all I can help you with. I do want to mention that when you hear Congress, you hear the Senate talking about amnesty, you know they're not going to say it because they don't have the spine to say it, but we're going to have to say it for them. Over this last week, I spoke with Patty Kumpion. She is the wife of Agent Jose Kumpion. She is an American hero like her husband, like many of the Americans that are now political prisoners of the Bush administration. We have to remember, many of us are Republicans in this crowd. Many of us for years have voted for the Republican Party, and now we're at a very crucial point to remember competition breeds quality. You know, when Bates compete, we win. And it's the same thing with political parties. We need to reach out for people and to politicians that CNN and MSNBC and Fox News may not be giving attention to. We need to reach out to the Tom Tancredos, to the Ron Pauls, to the Duncan Hunters. They are our friends in this time. And we need to remember the words of Robert Rector. They are the most valuable words in this movement. Channel 12, can you hear me? Robert Rector loves us. He's from the Heritage Foundation, Channel 12. And he said something crucial. He said, if 12 million illegal aliens are given amnesty, that'll cost you $2.5 trillion. That's $2.5 trillion. Channel 12, how many people are going to get amnesty?
30 million.
Hey, we've all watched The Price is Right. Our senators tell us 12 million. Bob Barker would say, is 12 million high or low? 12 million's low? The Senate says 12 million's the right number. Channel 12.
20 million.
Is 14 million high or low? It's low?
No.
How about 16 million?
No.
It's low?
No.
The Senate tells us 12. How about 20 million?
No.
That number's low?
No.
Wait a second. If Robert Rector tells us 12 million people, giving amnesty will cost us $2.5 trillion. Channel 12, they're telling you right now the number is a lot higher. Channel 12, I know you think this is funny, but there are Americans that are taxpayers here that fought for this country, that are doing their damnedest to make sure that their taxes don't get increased because reporters And mind you, I am a member of the media. It is part of our ethical responsibility as members of the media. If you have in your wallet or in your purse a press pass, damn it, you have a responsibility to be honest.
Yeah.
Is that number 24 million, high or low? It's low. And Robert Rector said that 24 million, well, he said 12 million would be $2.5 trillion on the taxpayers' backs. Channel 12, these people are telling you right now that the real number is higher than 24 million, which means it's higher than $5 trillion. And we as Americans, we love people in our country, we are compassionate, we are good people, we fight for people all over the world that want freedom, and all we ask for, Channel 12, 15, 10, 11, you know all the numbers, I don't have to go through them. We ask that the numbers be ethical and the people know the scam that is being reamed down their pocket books. What do you think the real number is? Is it 30 million? 40 million? It's a whole hell of a lot of money. That's right. Now, my friends, we've got a lot of good people that are supporting America, supporting Arizona, and the taxpayers. And I'll tell you, today we're going to be introducing you to so many of them. But the first person I want to introduce you to is a man who has been very gracious for my career. Katie, come on up here. Saying we lost a good man. Yeah. Am I right in saying that we need to sign a petition right now for two Senate seats for this man? Yeah. It would be nice. Now, we've got two openings that are going to be happening. Now, I'm sure I'm making you uncomfortable, and I am sorry, my man. I am sorry. JD has been very gracious to me. So, over my career, he's always found time when I'm on the radio or doing my podcast to make time. I'm not going to embarrass him. He is an American hero. He fights for us at the Capitol and on the radio every day from 4 to 7 on KFYI, 5:50 a.m. Let's turn the microphone over to Congressman, soon to be Senator, J.D. Hayward. For coming out, and let me just follow up on something that Todd said earlier. I know there are so many of our fellow citizens who have worn the uniform of this country, who gather with us at this peaceful assembly. If you are a veteran, if you are on active duty, if you have worn the uniform of this country in wartime or in peacetime, would you raise your right hand so we can all acknowledge and thank you? Thank you. Thank you so much for your service to our country. And I'm reminded of a great and good man who wore the uniform of our country, Dwight David Eisenhower, who said, "There's no need to engage in personalities. Instead, what we are all about is a common sense policy to uphold the rule of law. Yeah. Stand up for the Constitution of the United States." Yeah. I think about our founders who had the great and good sense in that poetic and practical preamble to our Constitution. They used three words that are typified here today. We the people. And I am also reminded that Article 4, Section 4
of that Constitution says, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this Union a Republican form of government. Now hold on, it's a small r. A Republican form of government, and shall protect each against invasion. We gather here as the truly compassionate Americans who say the way to stop the deaths in the desert are to enforce our borders now. Who say the way to protect America is to enforce our borders now. Who say from Washington, D.C. to Washington State, to beyond the contiguous United States, here at the state capital of the 48th state in our Union, the great 48th, that we understand the first and most important and most sacred obligation of a government is to protect its citizens. And we gather, affirming the constitutional rights of citizens. But when it comes to special accommodations, to special rules, to amnesty for non-citizens and those who would break our laws, and say, no, no, a thousand times no, 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 a thousand times no, 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 a thousand times no. Ladies and gentlemen, another great and good man who preceded me in broadcasting and served on the ninth floor was our great and good friend, the late great Governor Jack Williams. And Jack used to say, it's a beautiful day in Arizona, leave us all enjoy it. And I think about the late great Jack Williams, and I think about this warm afternoon in June. And I would ask my former colleagues, well, I guess they're my current colleagues again in broadcasting, I would ask my friends in television to take a look at everyone who is gathered here. If this is not the definition, literally, of the melting pot, I don't know what is. Take a look. From all these different backgrounds. Yeah, it's a melting pot. But the melting pot shows dangers of turning into a bubbling cauldron. Because there are some who have forgotten that we are to stand for the rule of law. You know, the contrast couldn't be clearer. Here we are at the state capitol, and my successor this afternoon, in just a little while in North Scottsdale, has a high-dollar fundraiser sponsored by the Open Borders Amnesty crowd. Now, let me just offer some friendly advice as a recovering member of Congress. I have every confidence that in 2008, in that November, you will remember. And this has nothing to do with party. The great thing is, we are here today, not as Republicans or as Democrats. That's exactly right. Not as independents, libertarians, or vegetarians. We are here as Americans. The cry and the affirmation comes clear It is not what we oppose, it is what we champion. And there are two words that the President of the United States was angered when I informed him of aboard Air Force One. He said to me, "Don't lecture me." Well, sir, you're learning the lesson the hard way. Two words we champion: a policy we defend without apologies. Enforcement first. Enforcement now. Enforcement first. Enforcement now. Enforcement first. Enforcement now. Enforcement first. Enforcement now. We together will succeed. After all, we are we the people. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you.
Speeches, make sure you join him. We've only got room for about 35. So without knocking people over, make a peaceful entrance to Steve's side of the podium and make sure you sign up on that list. Later today, we're going to have Russell Pierce. Are you familiar with Russell Pierce? He's a good and proud American, willing to defend our borders. We also have Dr. Frank Tamburi. Frank, where are you? Are you in the house? Why don't you make your way up here? My friends, this 2 weeks ago on my immigration podcast on PHXnews.com, I spoke with Joseph DeCero, who's a retired Border Patrol agent, a former local president of 1613 of the Border Patrol Agency. He told me there were two incidences of radioactive positive hits. You got quiet. A radioactive positive hit that happened twice in the San Diego area coming up, and because of the infinite wisdom of bureaucracy, they did not have the supervision authority to start their vehicles and chase down the trucks that went through that had positive hits. We've got problems that are so deep, and our media, our legislature couldn't really care because they're devoted to enriching their pockets with special interest and business interest dollars, and we need to stand up for the country that's going to be here for our children.
Yeah.
I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Frank Tamburi. Dr. Tamburi has been a practicing physician in Arizona since 2001, and he is currently nationally recognized as a specialist in prostate cancer. No, he's not giving any exams today. He's here to talk with you. He's here to talk with you about this issue of immigration, and we're grateful to have him. Let's have a round of applause for Dr. Frank Tamburi.
Thank you very much. Also, thank you for Adam A. for putting this together.
Eat the mic.
Eat the mic. Now, I'm Italian. I tend to speak loud, so I don't want to be spitting on anyone in the front. And I think I'm going to notice a number of men taking a few steps back. Louder? Does that go for you?
Yeah!
All right. Usually I'm always told to keep it quiet, so here we go. First of all, I want to thank you for being here, and I shouldn't really have to thank you. We're doing our right here as Americans, so there's not really a point to thank any of us in that regard. I do, seeing all of you, have to say I don't feel quite alone, as I tend to do. Many of us perhaps feel the same way. We sit here, we listen on the radio. Listen to JD or other radio talk show hosts. We wind up reading the papers, those that at least that understand this issue, read the blogs. And sometimes we feel like we're in this our own isolated bubble. And at times, watching local television, they never seem to cover these sorts of issues. So coming here and seeing other people together like this, I feel at least I'm not quite as crazy as I often feel about this issue. I'm here to speak about two capacities. One, I was asked to speak as far as a physician about some of the medical issues with illegals. But I'm also I'd like to speak to you as an American, and so again in two capacities. But no other reason, it's because I don't think it really matters all the information I have to our elected officials because they don't seem to listen to anything we're saying. But for what it's worth, I will start off this listing of issues the immigration bill will cause. So I'll just start with medicine, since that's my area. For those of you in the media that are looking for sources, I have over 98 references, key references from government officials, from government publications, and also from peer-reviewed journals for the medical establishment regarding what the influence will be on the medical world. Here's one individual, and I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of numbers, but Illegal Aliens and American Medicine, through a peer-reviewed journal of American Physicians and Surgeons.
The bottom, can't hear you back there.
You can't hear me back there? I'll keep eating this mic, guys. I want you to hear me. All right. So just to get started, the opponents often will try and put an emotional, humanitarian face on this issue. Many of us have heard on the radio recently people saying from the opposition, we need to put some humanity back on the illegal immigration debate. And of course, we know we're winning this argument. The reason we're winning this is because at the end of the day, what argument are they using on the radio? It's for the children. And many of us have heard this. Anytime a politician or anyone is vacuous in their intellectual argument, they always pull that line at the end. It's for the children.
Right?
Exactly. We have our own children, and well, I think it stands for itself. Let me talk as far as a humanitarian face. Just take an example. My own mother, and many of you have similar cases. She's been paying her health insurance for 30, 40 years, religiously and as a responsible citizen. In the last 3 years, her insurance has gone up $700 a month in 3 years. She has no medical problems. Basically, she has to be off the insurance. She can't pay for it in the years that she needs it most. When we asked the insurance companies why, they said because of the uninsured and illegal aliens. So I wanted to find out how much of this drain is going on. Well, basically, we don't know how many illegals are here. That's half the problem. But let's just say 10 million. If there's 10 million, exactly, we're looking at 30. On the statistics of just 10 million being conservative, we're looking at 25% of the uninsured are from illegal aliens. And that is the face, an actual American face, on my mother and many of you out here probably have worse stories of not being insured because of this bill. I mean, what this bill will actually make worse.
Yeah.
Let's start off with one quick one, and I'll move off from all these stats. Emtala. Anyone hearing about Emtala? All right. If you're anyone in healthcare, ask a nurse. They'll tell you about Emtala. It stands for the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. Basically, what this thing says is, if any hospital receives $1 from Uncle Sam, you are required by law to never turn down anyone that walks through those emergency room doors. Okay? Now, this is something that just about every hospital has to take. You take one Medicare dollar, now you are owned by the government and you cannot turn anyone down. Now, I've worked in emergency rooms, and many nurses and doctors out here know what goes on. If you don't have a lot of money and you're a citizen, you at least have access to other areas, maybe low-income physicians, but you have some specialists to see. If you are an illegal, you don't have access to that. So what do with your family, your children? Maybe when you have a runny nose, you take your children, your family, and you walk into the doors of an emergency room. And that emergency room, with the expensive staff and all those nurses, 24-hour service, has to eat the cost for that entire family. And this goes on daily in every single emergency room across the country. It is single-handedly taken out many California hospitals alone. So that's just for starters here. There's the issue of anchor babies. Many of us know about mothers that come here that are illegal, they have a child, and that becomes a U.S. citizen. 350,000 a year of these Quaker babies are born here, and every one of them is qualified for welfare medical benefits. There's also issues of illegal aliens that have translators and medical advocates at hospitals, and they are paid for as well through tax dollars often, and Medicaid. And then lastly, and I could keep going, but there's the Supplemental Security Income, the SSI. It's sort of indirectly with associated with Social Security. It's not from Social Security dollars, but it is from your tax dollars. Nevertheless, the numbers of the amount of money that's gone towards illegals, we feel has increased about over sevenfold. What happens is illegal aliens are able to get illegal Social Security card numbers and therefore qualify for all this SSI income. And SSI income is meant for severe disabilities. So let's say someone on the job and you become an amputee, let's say, you can't work. The U.S. government, through Social Security and SSI, will give you money to help. Well, illegal aliens now are qualifying for this illegally. And in 1982, the number was about 127,000. As of 2003, we're looking at several million. 25% is being used for this. I have to keep going with this, but again, other speakers that will be speaking later, many of us have gone online and seen lists and lists of intellectual, economic reasons why this amnesty bill is bad. And you know what? It's almost pointless. The real issue here is our leaders are not listening to us.
Can't hear back.
You can't hear me back there?
Yeah, it's just
we
can only hear
talking at
tree.
So let me talk to you now as an American regarding forgetting this medical issue. You know, as a physician, as a doctor, I often sit back and as I spoke to my senators, I said to them, you know, as a physician, I am honored. Truly honored to treat the illegal aliens that I see, that we see in our practice when they would come in. We did it as volunteers. We did it to give back to the community. And as a humanitarian, I was honored to do so. And I mean that wholeheartedly. But as an American, I find this amnesty bill or any iteration, mutation of, you know, a permutation of this bill, 1348, to be an abhorrent defilement of the American intention.
Right.
And now what do I mean by the American intention? The American intention to me is our goodwill. And I feel it's been taken advantage of by our elected officials for not just a couple years. We're talking back towards the 50s. Many of you have been following this. This has been an ongoing problem regarding illegal aliens from Ted Kennedy and before. It's gone on and on in different iterations. This is just the new one. I think what's happening is that they have preyed upon, politically preyed upon, our goodwill, and in many ways our guilt. There's guilt of our specters of our past. Atrocities like slavery, for instance. It has beleaguered the soul of this nation, but it has also left an opening for politicians to sap that guilt and push in these immigration policies, saying that if we do not follow, then we are not being humanitarian, and in some way we're racist, we're against diversity. And how many of you are offended when they mention that to you? I certainly am. I find it beyond offensive. Say that again. We're not bigots. They wind up becoming gluttons. These politicians, I find, are becoming gluttons upon this guilt of goodwill that we've offered them. And I think it's created seeds of discontent that have been fermenting in this country for a while. And what I mean by this are these little laws they put out that are bitter pills for us to swallow. For instance, making a citizenship test where it has to be given in English. Having increased funding for schools and school books because we have to train and teach illegal children something. Or increasing funds for hospitals, as I just mentioned earlier. These are all costs that we hear about, we kind of revile from it, we get angry, and then we have to forget and move on to the next issue. And this has been going on for years and years. Eventually, we put together, you know, we actually put bills up, you know, we actually put, how do I put it, you know, we'll actually ask the government for referendums referendum saying enough is enough, like Prop 200 as an example. The American people will vote for this. And then we have state and national judges that turn these over. Again, the will of the people. And so these issues have gone on and on and on until now with the amnesty bill. This amnesty bill to me is like the last act. It's like the last act of the Godfather movie. We have the setup of the first 2.5 hours, and then at the end comes the final act, and everyone gets whacked. And I feel that this amnesty bill is turning into that levy. Let me finish up a little bit here with an issue about Ronald Reagan. You know, Ronald Reagan talked about a wall. How many of you remember what he said about a wall to Gorbachev? He said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And the American people supported him for this because he was right. And the American people knew it was right for this country. Now we have another issue regarding a wall. We're not trying to be an isolationist country, but we want him to defend these borders and build up this wall. He wants to put a moon base and then send a nuclear, however he says it, spaceship to Mars. And yet he can't find a way to build the wall, defend the borders, and build up this wall. I say to Senator Kyle, don't look me and our people in the eye and say this issue was too complicated to deal with. If it's too complicated, then it's your responsibility to explain this issue to us. And or step down. And if you can't, then again, defend these borders and build up that wall. I say to Senator McCain. Senator McCain, your role has been over for a while. I think you're a ghost in this House, or the Senate, for that matter. The Senate, for that matter. It's time to see the light, move to the light, defend these borders, and build up this wall. Okay, let me finish one last point here. So let me just say this for ending here. You know, I don't know about many of you, but I tend to get pretty riled up about some of this. Some of you do too. My friends often will tell me, you know, calm down, watch TV like we do, watch some reality shows, you know, American Idol or that sort of thing. I sit there and I say this. I have my own reality show that I like. Okay? It's called Election Night. It's held not every week, results show. It's held every 2 years, and it's a doozy. And I say to any of our contestants out there that don't understand this amnesty bill needs to go down, I say wait until next year. Because on that night, when the votes have been counted, like American Idol, the house lights will come down, that tense music will come up, and out walks Ryan Seacrest, because there's going to be one hell of an elimination night. Thank you.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we've got State Representative Russell Peters. I do want to make a couple announcements. There's bathrooms over there in the museum that are open for you. Water right over here. Now, if you can't hear in the back, if you're in the front, if you could sit down, we're having trouble because you're blocking the speakers from the people in the back. The people in the back. The Bush administration says you want to come out of the shadows. So move yourself forward because we'd love to see you. Make you a part of our community. We have petitions over here to the right, and I'd like to introduce you to a man, Levi. Levi, come up here for a second. Most of you came here from the Phoenix area, not this man. Many of you came from the surrounding areas of Arizona, Tucson, Yuma, Sierra Vista, not this man. This man right here, Levi, he came 6 hours from New Mexico to be here with you to demand our border be closed. Have a big five more, Levi. Anybody who would like to come up towards the front, you're welcome. We've got plenty of sitting area in the shade.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And joining me right now, I've got JT Reddy. He's going to be, it says he's our next speaker, will be the Senate Precinct Committee. and president of America First, J.T., join us. Nice to have you.
All right, can you hear me? I want to hear you. Let's go. Hey! USA! 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 USA!
USA! USA! USA!
Thank you. Thank you. That's right. They need to hear us all the way up there in Washington, D.C. as well. That's right. I want to thank, first of all the good people that put so much effort into putting this thing together for us. Let's give them a round hand of applause right now. Thank you very much, all the volunteers. This is a voluntary effort. And you know, this weekend is Father's Day weekend. We're supposed to remember our fathers, and that's a good thing. But I'm glad to see everybody out here. We're remembering our founding fathers. We're remembering what this is really about. That's right, and we're not going to ask anymore. We're going to start yanking people out by their collars. These people are out of touch with reality. They are out of touch with what's happening on our streets. And we've even been treasoned by people that we trusted. I won't mention any names, Kyle, McCain, Flake, and you mentioned the governor. Well, you know, she has a task force right now to look into crystal meth. But I got a big question for you, Governor. 80% of the super labs that are bringing in crystal methamphetamines to our neighborhoods are coming in across that border. If you want to do some reform, then let's see the National Guard of Arizona on the Arizona National Border. All the politicians want to act like this is a, and I say politicians because great people like Russell Pierce are statesmen. There's a difference. J.D.'s a statesman. But all the politicians want to say it's a complex problem. Well, I got it for you. 1, 2, 3, 4. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, put the 1st Marine Division on the southern border. Yeah. Number two, put the 2nd Marine Division on the northern border. Number three, put the 3rd Marine Division at our ports and our shores. Number four, our 4th Marine Division needs to be within the interior, mopping up these gangbangers and taking them out of here. I am American, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm mad. I am mad, and I'm going to call it like I see it. We are not going to take any more of this amnesty, shamnesty, or scamnesty. No more. And another thing, I want all of you to be strong. And every time they call you a name, are you kidding me? Little schoolyard names in the background back there. People ask me, well, aren't you hot today in this suit? Yes, I am, but you know what? Those men and women in body armor over there, they're a lot more hot right now. Right. And I believe in supporting our troops. I believe in supporting them, bringing them home safely, and putting them right on our border. And no more turning our back on a guy at the DA either. Now, we've even had a Mesa police officer, a detective, so to speak. I won't mention his name, Matt Browning, number 9291, wherever you are. Dare to say, the people involved in the border issue, the Constitution, tax issues, that they are domestic terrorists. Let me tell you who the domestic terrorists and traitors are. It's the people who care more about foreign invaders than they do American citizens. And we, the people of Arizona, passed Prop 100. And we said we don't want illegal alien invader criminals jumping bail, getting back in our street. I had a Mesa PD officer tell me that he encountered a guy that had already been charged with kidnapping, ended up murdering someone. He'd been deported 16 times. Enough is enough. And I got news for all the judicial branch, too, that are in their little fancy black dresses.
Yeah.
They want to release these illegal aliens on our street.
Yeah.
We'll yank them out of the collar, too, and say, you're done. We're going to put patriots back in office. Yeah. Folks, I want to thank you for coming out here. My name is J.T. Reddy. I believe in serving our country. Continue serving our country. I'm glad to see y'all here. Thank you very much. God bless. Finally, somebody at my height with the microphone. Right? No, almost. I'm going to eat the mic. I've got a couple quotes for you from some of our most distinguished treasonists, and I'll get to those later on, but I'd like to introduce you to one of my favorite leaders here in Arizona. You know him as the father of Proposition 200. You know him as a man who's always willing to defend our borders. My favorite line you'll hear from him is that handcuffs work on the right kind of people, and we shouldn't handcuff our law enforcement agencies and our members of the Border Patrol, because that only makes us unsafe.
And also pisses us off.
That's right. We have a list to this side. I think we've got 18 or 20. If you want to get on our speakers list, make sure you make your way over and you introduce yourself to Steve. And you do that while I introduce to you Russell Pierce from District 18.
As a single man. Thank you. Thank you for putting up with this heat out here today. What great America. What patriots. My hat's off to you. God bless you. Folks, we do have about it. Honor? Okay. I'm sorry. I just came from the Arizona Republican Assembly where they just endorsed everything you're doing. They just condemned what's going on in Washington, D.C. They understand the Constitution. They understand the sacrifices for the freedom we enjoy. And they're not willing to give it up as you are.
All right.
What keeps us going is people like you. You know, I used to tell people when they asked me how I'm doing, I used to tell them, I'm doing probably better than I should be. Anymore, I tell them, after a little flack from the bad guys, I don't care. I tell them I'm doing a lot better than some people wish I was. And we're going to continue to do better. We're going to take back this country. We're going to take it back state at a time. And we're going to start here in Arizona. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I brought a little list here. And at my age, these glasses are more than just for appearance. I brought a little list here. We talked to this governor last year. You know, she ran on a lot of things. One of them is border security. One of the tough, in fact, she's not one of the quotes, one of the toughest governors in the nation on border security. Folks, I'm just a tiny guy, guys. You're going to have to move in closer. I'm just a little guy. You know, kind of reminds me of my youth. Been an old cowboy most of my life, and of course being raised in poverty, I can never afford to ride a horse for very long in a rodeo. I just ran it 8 seconds at a time, you know, so. But anyway, I got to tell you, there's some serious things going on, and they start right here in this state. When we ran Prop 200, we didn't have one congressman until the very end Trent Franks came on board, very end. But we had not one congressman step up. I think it's the right thing to do to require citizenship to vote, proof of ID when you go to vote, some evidence that you are who you say you are. Even Blockbuster Movie requires two forms of ID. Maybe we ought to turn the voting system over to them. Another issue was before they get your dollars, tax dollars, they prove eligibility. We didn't change any laws. We didn't get support from our congressional delegation just to put into place eligibility that people qualified for what we thought they already were qualifying for. Enough's enough. And I want to tell you real quickly, and I'm going to go through a couple of things here. This governor's vetoed so many bills. How she can get away and how the mainstream media will continue to endorse and support her as if she's deadly. Remember when she declared a state of emergency?
Yeah.
She recognized that the death, the violence, the cost, Arizonans. 283 days later, not one additional guardsman on that border.
She swept it under the carpet, that's why.
Well, she continues to ignore the damage to you, the citizens. And then we went through, not only did she not support, in fact, led a rally down here against Prop 200, right here in the capitals of the step, the steps of the Capitol. But here's some of the vetoes she's given. We passed money for border security, vetoed by the governor. We passed legislation to put guard on the border, vetoed by the governor. We passed employer sanctions, vetoed by the governor. We passed legislation to require law enforcement to check the status of those they arrest when they put them in jail, vetoed by the governor. We passed legislation not to use the matricula card, but for your government not to accept the matricula card. The only constituency for that card are illegal aliens. If you're legal, you have identification issued by the state, vote, a state ID, a driver's license, she vetoed that. And even in Congress, gave testimony, Homeland Security, the FBI, one of the greatest threats to Homeland Security was the acceptance of the matricula card because of its unverifiability. It's the best tool an illegal alien or a terrorist can have. Yes, she vetoed that bill. She vetoed, we passed laws, $56 million for grants to help them enforce the law. She vetoed that. We passed legislation for official English. She vetoed that. You changed it with the ballot. We passed legislation for gang enforcement. She vetoed that. For gang enforcement. We have passed legislation regarding day laborers. She vetoed that. A Representative John Kavanaugh, the champion of that bill, pushed it hard. And I'm glad to see you here, John. What a great American. And also a great ally of yours in every one of these issues. We passed legislation making it a trespass to be in Arizona if you're here in violation of federal law. Enter or remain in Arizona. She vetoed that. We passed legislation for a volunteer security force on the border. She vetoed that. Folks, I could go on. But I know where you're at. Last November, we had a poll. And this is the kind of poll that I like. We had four ballot initiatives on the ballot. Passed by an average of 75%. That's a real poll. I know that the Adam James is here, a member of the You Don't Speak For Me. And
right
there.
Guys, I know I'm not going to take a lot of
time
to get back there with that
pitch. He was complaining. Who's got the bullhorn?
We might check the generator.
Bullhorn.
America.
You probably can't hear me back there.
He has the
nothing.
That better?
Yeah.
A lot better, but a little. Both anyway, passed the ballot last November. Four initiatives illegal aliens. And like I said, 75% average. 60% of Hispanics voted for those. You know what's good about America? People come to be American. We are a diverse nation, but we're all Americans.
That's right.
Teddy Roosevelt said, there's only one room for one language, one culture, one people, and that's America. And that's what you need. Just work it down. Well, folks, I appreciate folks who don't have to use a hyphen after their name. And I don't back up anybody for preserving their legacy, their heritage, recognize where they came from. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being Americans. We're talking about people wait in line, come here the right way. I've never, ever pulled
illegal immigration.
Just keep it up there, Todd.
Generator.
Might want to recoup that part, sir.
Like I said, I've never opposed legal immigration, but I do oppose illegal immigration. And I oppose what Congress is trying to do to us in Washington, D.C., in its amnesty. It's going to cost you trillions of dollars. It is absolutely wrong. I don't care what, how you paint up a pig. I don't care how much lipstick you put on it. It's still a pig. I want to tell you, one of the issues here, and you've heard it on the radio, and it's a proposition that I wrote, one of the three or the four that were on the ballot I wrote, and this was Proposition 100. you folks vote loud and clear. 78% of you pass this, and it says very simply, you're in this country illegally, you commit a serious crime, you cannot be bonded out.
Yes.
No bond.
Right.
Well, 92% of those have been released by our judiciary.
Right.
Because they decided,
thank you.
They decided that even self-declaration on here illegally is not valid information to hold them. A guy with deportation papers in his pocket was not reason enough to hold them. An officer testifies they're here illegally and arrested him before for being here illegally is not enough. What's enough? I mean, this is silly. We've got a bill going through, Senate Bill 1265, that I've struck on. I want to Linda Gray, a great supporter also, Senator Gray.
That will fix that. It will make clear that the courts must accept self-declaration, must accept evidence, must accept the terms that all of you are familiar with, called common sense. And if there's reason to believe that would lead a common sense person to believe, you better be holding them. We're already past this part. I want you to read that to you. He says, for serious felony offense prescribed. This isn't just a law. This is the Constitution, folks.
There are
judges who take an oath to both the law and the Constitution, but this is the Constitution you passed. You amended it. It says, for serious felony offenses have been prescribed by the legislature, yes, means there be an accompanying bill, which was passed as she did sign, charges entered or remained in the United States illegally, and the proof is evident and presumption, the greatest great, that the charge, the present charge was committed. So you already passed this business of where you committed a serious felony. They're releasing them and bonding them after they've already met a high standard that committed a serious crime just because they won't accept the fact they're illegal. 92% of it. Folks, there's crime in this state. We're number one in the nation in crime. Second most violent state in the nation, or the FBI statistic. We're the home invasion, carjacking, identity theft capital of the world. What does it take? We have 225,000 children in our K-12 system, non-English speakers out of a million students. It's over 20% at $8,500 per child. Over $2 billion to educate the children of illegal aliens in our K-12 system. The cost is huge. Enough is enough. And obviously, we've got other speakers. I'm not going to go on for a long time on this, but I want to tell you, you need to get engaged. Folks, we have a citizen's responsibility. We have a citizen's ability. We don't have to let this governor veto every good bill. Just like last November, we have the ability to put these issues on the ballot. Right now, we have two initiatives, and I hope you guys have all signed and taken a petition of each to get your friends and family to sign them that will require employers, who hire illegal aliens to be sanctioned and go out of business. You don't belong in business. The standard is knowingly. If you knowingly hire an illegal alien, good grief, you've only had since 1986 to get your act together. I think it's about time we help them. So let's do it. Disneyland learned a long, long time ago, and they're in the crowd business. Turn off the lights, shut down the rides, the crowd goes on. You don't need roundups, you need to enforce the law. We don't need reform, we need to enforce present law. I've been in law enforcement most of my life, and I can tell you handcuffs are a great tool. A great tool when they're on the right people. Get them off from our law enforcement, put them on the bad guy. We have sanctuary policies in this state that are actually illegal. AUSC 1644 says, notwithstanding any federal, state, or local law, you cannot withstand them gathering that information. The Supreme Court has ruled that they have a right to ask and act. You don't need an MOU. You don't need an IGA. You don't need prior permission. They have inherent authority just as written in the state statute to enforce the law. So it's rather shameful that we have to pass law to get laws enforced. But the second initiative does just that. It's called SOLS, Support Our Law Enforcement. It simply says no entity in this state. State, county, city, local entity may have a policy that restricts law enforcement's ability to enforce immigration law. In addition to that, we make it a misdemeanor for you to enter a state law for you to enter or remain in violation of federal law. So we give them some additional tools to law enforcement. They don't have to play this game. It'll be a state law. If you're in this country illegally, if you're in Arizona illegally, we want
want those folks to be able to be arrested. And folks, I believe in family reunification. You hear a lot about it. And I believe every single person who has abandoned their family in Mexico needs to be arrested and returned to their family. Again, I want to thank you for coming out here today. I want to thank you for being the patriots you are. And I don't dislike anybody, but I respect this country and its laws. I will fight till the day I'm dead that right is right and wrong is wrong. I know how to spell illegal. I know what it means. I will not reward those folks who have violated the laws. And look at the damage. Look at the Miller family. Again, illegal alien killed their son, Chris Miller. How do you make up for that? How do you? Have you read the Stephen King report? We've lost 3,000 folks in Iraq today. 3,000. That's in 4 years. We lose 9,000 a year in America at the hands of illegal aliens, according to a congressional report. 25 a day, 12 by savage shootings, 13 by DUI and other vehicular crimes. What does it take to wake up America? This isn't a game. Let's put America first. Let's put Americans' interests first. Let's put Americans first. Enough is enough. Let's enforce the law. We will not tolerate it. Again, you have the power. These folks who refuse to live up to their oath of office, these folks who continue to tell you different things, make promises and don't keep them. And again, you make a promise you run, they ought to be held accountable. Fire them. Yeah. We don't need people lying to us and being deceitful. Those who don't put America first should not be returned. That's your ability, but you must get engaged in order to make that happen. Force those people to do what's right. And take no prisoners on it, folks. This is America in our very nature. This is a sellout. What's going on in Congress, I believe, is leading toward the destruction of this country.
No surrender, no retreat.
You guys understand some of the programs real quick, and I'm going to step out of here. It's just so hard. There are always 14 other things I want to tell you. But if you understand the Reunification Act, family reunification, and chain migration kind of problems, and they're trying to trim them down a little bit, a little more winking than not. According to the Heritage Foundation, for every illegal alien that's given legal status, potentially, must say they'll bring them, can bring 273 people with them under current law. Folks, you can't handle that. America can't handle that. They use social services at the rate of 3 to 4 times of a native-born American. Folks, you might as well put a sign on the border, welfare recipients sought after. Because I'm telling you, you will absolutely implode your social services. And the cost, according to the Heritage Foundation, is $2.5 to $3.9 trillion minimum just in retirement costs, not counting the others. It's up to you. It is a critical situation. Patrick J. Buchanan, in his book, if you haven't read it, you ought to. You know, a state of emergency. Folks, this is a state of emergency. And if this thing passes, you know, the devastation is going to be huge. You have a very short time frame here to stop what's happening. You must step up to the plate. Make calls every day. Every day make calls and faxes. Don't let this get away from us. We can stop it. We must stop it.
We will.
God bless you. Thank you.
Can't get enough of Russell Pierce. Russell Pierce to run for higher office. We need Russell Pierce to run for Senate. I'm up for governor. We sure do. Look, my name is Todd Hartley. I run Phoenix News, phxnews.com. I host the most listened to immigration podcast on the web. I do that about 5 times a week. I've got a bunch of stickers up here. If anybody wants them, I'll put them off to the side and pass them out. And give me a second. I'll be right with you. And I do want to introduce some other guests. We've got a big list. We're going to move quickly through people. I've got Phyllis Gross. Now, Phyllis, like all of you, is a proud American. Phyllis is with the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps, and she's here with us today to talk about why we need, well, you know why, but we need to make sure everybody knows why. We need to secure our borders. My friends, the most important thing that we can all leave you with is what you learn from today. Make sure you educate your friends and family. Do the daring thing in America. Start talking to people in your family. Don't be afraid if they're going to freak out, yell at you. Do what needs to be done to secure our future. And I'd like to bring Phyllis Gross up here to tell you about what other things we can do to secure that damn border. Yes.
I'm here actually speaking in the place of Chris Simcox, our president and founder of Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, because he had accepted another speaking engagement here in the Valley several months ago. Specifically, he first wanted me to say thank you all very much for coming out in the spirit of patriotism and joining this coalition of active Americans. Thank you from Chris Simcox. Minuteman Civil Defense Corps is the largest growing nationally. We have Minutemen out in several cities and states right now. A few of them listed, they're listed on our website, that are currently participating in the March for America all over the nation. We have Minutemen participating in Sacramento, California. They're at the Georgia State Capitol. They're in Indianapolis, Indiana. They're in Springfield, Illinois. They're at the Minnesota State Capitol. They're in Topeka, Kansas. Columbus, Ohio. Austin, Texas. And in Seattle, Washington. We have representatives at the March for America in Washington, D.C. Chris Simcox, our president and founder, was there. Carmen Mercer, our vice president, was there. We have two very faithful, patriotic Minutemen who flew in all the way from Florida, their first time in Washington, D.C., and you can read about their daily reports on MinutemanHQ.com on the Florida page. Specifically, Bill Landis, who was very overwhelmed with the size of the building in Washington, D.C. And Chris Simcox took time to train him as a citizen lobbyist, going door to door to the senators and the congressmen's offices. And Chris Simcox considers each and every one of you a citizen lobbyist. Do you consider yourself that? Minuteman Civil Defense Corps' mission is to secure, again, I'll say, to secure the United States borders and coastal boundaries against unlawful and unauthorized entry of all individuals, contraband, and foreign military. Clap if you can agree with that mission. In regards to this Senate bill, we are so very thankful for not only Minutemen and Minutewomen, but all patriotic Americans who have been tirelessly putting forth effort, action, making many, many phone calls, repeated phone calls, sending emails, sending postcards, sending letters. We actually received a phone call from a very, very patriotic veteran out of California who took the time to handwrite each and every senator.